All right, on Father's Day, June 2020, take your Bible, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. The book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Those that can stand, let's stand and go ahead and read a verse of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Need some wise men.
Amen.
Need some wise men. Heavenly Father, bless in the preaching of thy word. May your name be glorified. May each one here be helped in some way in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Would you go back to Hebrews chapter 12, please? The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews 12, follow as I read, if you would, please, in verse 23. But you know, that isn't what I wanted this morning. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 23, please. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he should be destroyed, the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Well, we're going to stop right there at verse 29. Obviously, we read the portion of Scripture of Hebrews 11, which is called the faith chapter. The chapter that it talks all about the different people in the Old Testament that had faith and showed their faith. They just didn't say they had faith. They showed it by what they did. And the message for Father's Day today is a real man out of a boy. All men come from boys. Nothing wrong with boys, but we need men to grow up out of boys. And that's what we just saw here in this portion of Scripture. So Proverbs 1:5 we've read, and we found out if you're going to be wise, you're going to pay attention to wise counsels and wise people, you'll get counsel before you do things, because you can make bad choices. So it's better to have wise counsels, is what the Bible says. But way back here with Moses, in the beginning of Moses' life, he was in Egypt. His mother and father, who knows their name?
Jochebed or something like that, and Miriam. Because I was reading this morning in the book that Phyllis gave us, and that's what I was reading about the mother and Moses and Miriam.
Miriam was a sister.
Oh, that's right.
Does anybody know what the parents' name is?
Jochebed and Amram?
Amram. Okay. So his father was Amram, and the mother was Jochebed. Okay? Remember that. Important that you do. Out of this great man, a real man, Moses. But they were there in Egypt, and the Israelites were mushrooming population. They were getting more in number than the Egyptians in Egypt. There was more Israelites there. They outnumbered the Egyptians. And the Egyptians were afraid that they couldn't contain these Israelites anymore. So they made them slaves. And they said, we've got to stop all of these babies, these Israelite babies. And so Pharaoh made an edict that he was going to kill all of the male babies. You say, that's terrible. Yeah. Well, in the United States, they also made a law back in 1973. What was the name of that court case?
Roe versus Wade.
1973, they said it's okay to abort babies in the womb. So as of this date, there's over 60 million babies been slaughtered, aborted in the womb. Yeah, in this country, not Egypt. We think Egypt was a backward country or something. We're far worse. But here we see that he made out an edict, the Pharaoh did, so that he could get the population down of all of these Israelites as they were living in his land in Egypt. Go to Psalm 139. Keep your place here. Put a bulletin there or something. Go to Psalm 139. Because some people will give you an argument or have an opinion about abortion. It's a wicked sin. And God said that he would hold the nation accountable for the blood of the innocents. And there isn't anybody more innocent than a little baby that hasn't even drawn breath yet. Well, Psalm 139 and verse 13, he says, "For thou hast possessed my reins," David saying, "thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." In other words, God saw, he sees what they want to call fetuses.
Huh?
Everything's in name changes. Okay? You're not a drunkard anymore. You're an alcoholic. Right? You're not a fool. No, you're just a person that keeps on making bad choices over and over and over and over. They like to make it a respectable thing. So instead of calling a baby what it is in the womb, right upon conception, they call it a fetus, an embryo. Put all of the names on it you want, and it's a baby, and you kill it. You murder it in the womb. And I won't take time to show you all of the dozens of scripture that prove that over and over again. But back in Hebrews 11 there, where Pharaoh was going to kill all of the baby men child, they called that the slaughter of the innocents in history. Moses had very little chance of living. And you just read there in Hebrews that he was 3 months old. And Jochebed, of course, she was weeping over the whole thing. She knew her little baby was going to be killed. She said, well, I'm just going to put it in God's hands. She took Moses, little Moses, and put him in a little basket. And put it in the river so it would come float down river right in front of where Pharaoh's daughter was known to be bathing with all of her attendants as well. But Jochebed said, her daughter to Miriam, to watch and see what happened. And so she was hiding there and watching this whole thing happen. And it was Pharaoh's daughter. Anybody know whose Pharaoh's daughter's name is? No, you won't, because it's not mentioned in Scripture. Okay. They just keep on calling it Pharaoh's daughter. I don't know what her name was. Now, if you see some movie in a film, they'll make up a name and then make that. Don't go by the movies. Go by the blessed book, brother. You'd be a lot better off. You see, God had a plan for Moses way back then. God had a plan for Moses' life. The providence of God. God working in the background, moving situations around and people around and instances around, and you don't even know it, but God had his whole plan in watching over little Moses in the bulrush, in that little basket. So Pharaoh's daughter went ahead and took Moses. She said, well, I'm going to raise this little one for myself. She probably didn't know anything about raising any baby. Okay. So Jochebed, she was a bold woman also, you ladies. This is for you too. She went up to Pharaoh's daughter and said, I'll be his nanny. I'll raise him for you. What a blessing. Not only did she have to give over Moses to get him out of danger, now he's in Pharaoh's court, and God allowed his real mother, Jochebed, to go ahead and raise him. Well, you talk about the hand of God. How many chances would that be that would ever come to pass? So as Moses was a boy, he had every advantage. He had all of the riches of Pharaoh and everything. Did you notice something we read there in Hebrews 11? That when he came to years, in other words, he matured. No longer was he a boy. Now he was a man. When he came to years, he wasn't going to act like a juvenile anymore. He was going to have maturity. He put the boy's toys away and took on the responsibility that every man should have. There's a time where little boys need to grow up and be a man. You know what our situation is, don't you, here in America? You see a lot of little boys that are 30, 40, 50, 60. They're not men. Oh, they're males. Yeah. They got the right equipment to be a male, but it takes more than that to be a man. I'm preaching on a boy becoming a man this morning. You know, we need to study great men in the Bible and learn from them. All of the Bible is for our blessing. Study great men. Let them instruct you. Let them motivate you. And those that were bad men and had mistakes, now you don't have to repeat them. But I want to look at several things this morning. Look at verse 24. Now I've got this broken down into an outline that starts with R. So in verse 24, it says, by faith, when he was come to years. Did you know a man has to have faith? Important that a man has faith. Steps out by faith and does right. And it says in verse 24, to be called, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he found out that he was actually a Hebrew, that he was actually a Jew, an Israelite, when he came to years and become a man, he refused. He said no. So that first point is his refusals. When he became a man, he refused. He said no to Pharaoh and Pharaoh's daughter. You know, all men need to teach their kids early to say no. First words, even a baby, a small boy, needs to hear that word, no. There's some things you don't do. Every man should have a code of conduct in his home. Right away, that little one needs to learn. No. We live in a society where all of the little kids, they hear yes to everything they ask for. Yes, yes, yes. The great man, Moses, when he came to years, he refused. He said no to Pharaoh. You see the eroding culture all around us, and it's because this generation out here has been told yes, yes, yes. You see all of this pressure and everything by the protests and riots and everything else. What are they What do the governors and everybody do? I'll say, yes, we'll give you that, and we'll change this. Yes. Nobody says no. Hard to find men. It says here that he wasn't a boy anymore. When he came to years, he became a man, and he would say no to certain things. You know, very early in our Christian life, even when we had visitors come and visit our home. We were living in an apartment at that time and so forth. But it happens to everybody. You'll get your unsaved relatives come, you know, and they'll drive in from another state, baby, and pull in. But they're smokers and drinkers and everything else. You're gonna have to make a choice. Moses refused. Moses said no. Amen. Ever since I got saved, nobody's had brought any smoke into my house, no matter where I lived. They didn't bring any liquor, beer, or anything else into my house. I didn't care who got upset. I didn't care about any of that kind of stuff. We're talking about men that take a stand. So the first thing is that I want you to notice his refusals. The second thing I want to see in verse 25, would you look at it? It talks about his rathers. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now these males that live out here in the world, they would choose the way of least resistance. Did you know that's what water does? I call them watery Christians. If it's easier to go this way, then I'll go this way. He chose rather to go against. Even the suffering that would come. When he became a man, he opted out of the popular path that everybody else was following in the world. Oh, that's okay. You can do that. Everybody else is doing it. Well, say that to Moses. He made a choice. His rathers in verse 25. Then I hurriedly go on to verse 26. I want you to see his reproach. In verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The word recompense means the pay. What do you get for it? And he said, I'd rather get paid by God, and we're not just talking about money here. I'd rather have a reward from God. I'd rather have a payday with God than to choose all of the things of the world, it says down here. It says esteeming. He was balancing. You've seen the balance, you know. Balance scales, they called them back in the day. He said, boy, would I take all of the things that Egypt had to give me? Or would I take the Lord that has everything? He was a boy, but then he became a man. He said, I'm going to choose right. Esteeming, that's what it says right there. Priorities. I'd rather care about what the Lord thinks about me rather than the folks down the street. I'd rather have the approval of the Lord. Because when you die with all of your riches, you leave it all here. I don't care what you got. You ain't taking anything with you. Now, he was a real man. He was a spiritual man. That's why God went ahead and chose him for this reason. That he was going to be the great leader that he finally became. And this faith chapter of Hebrews 11 all talks about his faith. That's what made him a great man. So he didn't care about his reproach. And then verse 26 also, I mentioned part of it. Greater riches than the treasures of heaven, huh? His reward. You know, a lot of times you don't get the reward until you get the reproach. People might not say good things about you, but a man will take it. And he says that he saw that there was a payment coming. For everything that you forfeited, Moses, there's going to be a payment coming. You know what? God knows how to pay up. And God does bring the blessings if you're willing to be reproached for him. In the New Testament, it says, Christ said, if you will suffer with him, you shall also reign with him. Talking about the millennium. If you're saved this morning, you're going to be there. So there may be some suffering as a man in your life. Stay true to God. Anybody can cave. Then look also the next verse that he forsook. He forsook, is that what it says? That means he ran. He got away from it. And so my outline beginning with R has to be running. So, you know, he forsook Egypt one time. Then he forsook it again 40 years later because God used him to bring all of the judgments upon Egypt. Pharaoh was ready to bring him back, but he brought the plagues instead. His forsaking, his running. Keep your place and go to 2 Timothy 2 if you would. 2 Timothy 2. Sorry, Tim. Seeing you're the only man here, can you imagine? He thinks I'm preaching right to him. No, I'm not. It's a message I already prepared and never knew who was going to be here. Everybody needs preaching anyway. So, his forsaking. You know, there's some things in life you got to forsake. You got to run away from. Look at in verse 22. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. With them that call upon them, on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee, run away, forsake. Get away from that. It will overcome you if you let it. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Everything I'm preaching this morning is the answer to what's going on in America in 2020. I've been here in the book all the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Says it again, flee fornication, sexual sins. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, outside the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Two great sins through history. Millions of people died because of it. Anybody know? Gonorrhea. We're not so far familiar with that here in 2020. Years ago, it was like a plague. It wiped out populations just from sexual sin. What's the number two disease that way? Well, that was later, yeah. But back a ways, syphilis. Okay? These are deadly sins. And rightly so, AIDS is also. Started with the homosexuals, brought that in. Rather than quarantine them like the Bible says when they first came in with it, they're just going to, you know, give them some drugs and stuff. They're still mingling with everybody and spreading that. They didn't stop their ungodly sin of men with men and women with women. And it spread. Thousands have died of AIDS. There's some things you need to run away from. He forsook. Why? Moses, God said he's going to be a leader. God said he's going to be a crusader. God said he's going to be a conqueror. And it says there in that verse, he endured. You know, sometimes you can get something hard come at you and everything. And you can kind of stand there for a little while, but then it kind of wears you down. How about enduring? Enduring means you stick with what's right. If you know what's right, stick with it. When the hard times come, you stood up. You didn't run away from that. You ran away from the other sins. It's amazing how people, Christians, when trouble and hard times come, they run away from the church. They run away from God. They run away from the man of God. When you should be doing just the opposite. When troubles come, you get discouraged and depressed and everything, man, you need to run to the church. To God. To the man of God, be able to hear the truth. We got it all backwards. I'm talking about a real man. A man of God. Verse 28, as I hurry. I want to point out his religion. That starts with R, doesn't it? Verse 28. Only I turn the page. You're not supposed to do that. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, that he should be, that he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You remember how that all happened there in Egypt? The last plague, the plague of the dying of the firstborn. God brought it on Pharaoh. He had brought it upon Moses and all of those innocent little children Well, the last plague, God was going to bring it on Pharaoh. And he said, the only thing that will save you from your firstborn being killed is you got to take the blood of the lamb. And you got to take that blood and a little hyssop, they call it, a different kind of weed, brush. Dip it in there and put it over the top of your door to your house. And put it on the lintels on the side as well. And he says, God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's where they get Passover. They celebrate that. The only way to get out of God's judgment is have the blood on you. Are you covered with the blood? Are you saved? You trusted in Christ alone to get you out of heaven. Living a new life for him. It says here that he had faith, his religion. He was a man. You see, you can look around and see today, right here in front of us. We got one man here, and the rest are ladies. Amen. I love every lady here. Why is it more ladies come to church and come to God and get saved than the men? He was a real man. He had a religion and he kept that. The word religion just means what you believe. You can have a bad religion, you can have a good religion. Obviously, he had Judaism. Believing, looking forward to Christ. Look at verse 29. It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. This is his rescue. Do you remember the story? Pharaoh finally let them go. 3 million of them came out of Egypt following Moses. And God led Moses to the Red Sea. Now that's crazy. Doesn't God know what he's doing? I mean, you can't pass over water. You don't have any boat or anything. You got 3 million people here. God always wants to be glorified. God always wants to be praised. So sometimes he'll lead you into a brick wall. Now what? Oh boy, you can imagine what was going on when these leaders coming out there following Moses, you know. They all got together, I'm sure, and they had a committee. They were going to make a committee, and they had a board meeting about all of this, you know. Moses, what are you doing? He said, I'm just following God. It's funny how the committees many times don't know what they're doing because they're made of people. People are sinners. And religious boards, deacon boards, or whatever you want to call them, the same thing. That's why we don't have a deacon board in our church. We got a deacon that's a servant. He serves God. He's a minister of God. But you know, God did the miracle of taking the wind and causing that wind to separate the water. Do you know how wide that would have to be? Because they crossed over in one night. How wide that had to be to get 3 million people across the Red Sea? Miles. Don't go by the movie Ten Commandments, okay? Some of it's good, some of it's bad. Do you know what God did? He didn't even allow his children, the Israelites, to get muddy feet. He dried, that wind dried up all of that where they were going to walk. And they went over across dry shod. It was all dried up for him. This is his rescue. Can you imagine the pressure of being in command of 3 million people following God by a cloud by day and a pillar by night, and he leads you right into a barricade, a sea. We're trapped. Did I ever tell you it takes faith for a man to use faith to follow God? He's no longer a boy. He's a man. He grew up. And these are characteristics of a real man that we're seeing in Moses. That's what I'm preaching on. Well, the Egyptian army saw that this was all dried up for him. Boy, we can go right over. Boy, it's all cleared out for us. So they drive their chariots and the whole thing, the whole army, out into the middle of that. And then God said, I got you where I want you. And God caused that sea to come back upon them. And the whole Egyptian army was drowned. God gets the glory. God gets the glory. That's his rescue. But you know what? All of this started way back at the beginning of the message that we were talking about, where he started refusing things. If you just go along with the world or even other Christians, this is okay, and you know they got no standards at all or anything. God's not going to use you like he did Moses. A real man will take a stand. He knows what's right, and he's not going to go the way others that's popular out here. This could have never came unless verse 24, when he came to years, he became a man, he started refusing, he started choosing, he started having standards and so forth. He was a rigid man. God used him in a great way. But this wouldn't have happened if he was just acting, standing around acting like some childish worldling. When he came to years, he chose maturity. Two verses and I close. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians 13, verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Moses, at one time, he was a boy. He was a little baby. Had good parents. And God, through his providence, moved all heaven and earth, as we say. He moved all kinds of things. Pharaoh and his daughter and everything else to bring him up. And then he started refusing. He wasn't going to go the way that all of the other weaklings were. He was going to be strong and stand for the Lord. Look at verse 14 right there. 1 Corinthians 14 and in verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Hmm. I wish more males would understand and become men. See it all through the Bible. God uses men as leaders. Can't get away from it. So I honor real men this morning. I honor fathers. Fathers that are even listening by internet. Have a good Father's Day, because it's going to take a man to be a good father. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we could take time into the book. We could learn and we could understand. Help us to have the courage to stand for what's right no matter what comes, what other person does, that it does not influence us. And Lord, that we will follow you no matter what. Thank you for the word of God that we can rely upon. Thank you for your grace and your mercy within our lives. We pray for those that do not know Jesus Christ. They claim to, but it's another thing to go ahead and do the right thing and prove that you're saved. Lord, I pray that you might give us wisdom, give us strength. Bless each one today in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty.